This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. We present Notes from the New World, the fourth program in a six-part series on music from the Americas. This week on his voyage of discovery, Piet Myers stops off in Brazil.
He was a self-acknowledged genius who chain-smoked Havana cigars. He possessed an ego as towering as Sugarloaf Mountain, produced close to 2,000 compositions, some of them still being catalogued, was self-large-taught and single-handedly sowed the most passionate seeds in the fertile soil of Latin American music. So, where does one begin with a giant of Brazilian music like Heitor Villa-Lobos? Born 1887, died 1959. Well, why not at the top of the pinnacle, with what has to be his most celebrated and popular composition?
Kiri Takanawa with the English Chamber Orchestra and the aria, or Cancilena, from Villa-Lobos' nine-part homage to his favorite composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. He called the series Bachianas Brasileiras, and the aria comes from the fifth part. According to Villa-Lobos, Bach was the universal source of folklore, and he came up with the idea that there was a link between the counterpoint in Bach's compositions and Brazilian folk rhythms. Now, this idea gave birth to some of the most exquisite music to emerge from the New World and establish Villa-Lobos as the dominant figure in 20th century art music in Latin America. Born in Rio de Janeiro, he took to music at an early age. His instrument, actually, was the cello. Later, he took up guitar and piano. Between the ages of 18 and 25, he traveled the length and breadth of Brazil, noting down folk melodies and rhythms, and many of these melodies would later be woven into the tapestry of his works. For instance, the theme of the prelude in the Bachianus No. 4 is something he discovered in a village, and he called it the Song of the Country People. In my book, it's one of the most haunting pieces in his enormous output. Played by the Symphony Orchestra of Brazil, the prelude to the Bachianus No. 4. It's almost as moving and memorable as Samuel Barber's Adagio for strings. As a young man, Ator had a fertile imagination. In a sense, he created his own legend, and it started early. For instance, when he returned from his great journey into the heartland of Brazil, he told the story of how he was captured, believe this, by cannibal Indians, who only let him live after they heard his music. Well, it's a wonder that anyone took him seriously after that. But the man had a talent that matched his ego and fantasy, and no one could ignore the originality pouring from his young, fertile brain. He was infatuated with and studied the music of Brazil's Indian populations, and with the street musicians of Brazil, choros. It's a genetic term to describe street bands, and Villa-Lobos used it to create his monumental choro series. Compositions in the authentic Brazilian spirit for a combination of instruments and orchestras. The very first, written in 1920, was his choros for guitar. Thank you. These choros range from simple instrumental solos, as you just heard, to full orchestra. And after he had studied composition in Paris in the 1920s, Villa-Lobos, the Brazilian Impressionist, emerged. The orchestral choros are among the most startling works and much neglected by international orchestras. Perhaps the time has come for conductors to rediscover these orchestral works as they vary from the avant-garde to the mystical. One of the most stunning is the Choros No. 6. And as today we witness the ruthless destruction of Brazil's great forests and natural wonders, this music, Villa-Lobos' poem to the environment, to the majesty of nature, reminds us paradise did exist before greed and the profane moved into his Garden of Eden. A brief passage from a superb work that lasts all of 22 minutes, the Choros No. 6, played by the Symphony Orchestra of Brazil. Of all these choros, my personal favorite is one written for 8 instruments in a male choir. Villa-Lobos wrote it in Paris, where it caused a sensation, and was described as a primitive, untamed music. It's actually a folk song that belongs to the Parecis Indians of Brazil, in which they sing about the ceaseless pecking of the pica-pau, or green woodpecker.
Thank you.
Delightful miniature, the Choros 3 for 8 instruments and male choir. Villa-Lobos was a master of the miniature. When he returned from Paris in 1930, Brazil was shaken by a political and cultural revolution that worked to his advantage. A strongly nationalistic regime appointed him as advisor to the government on all musical matters. And in his drive to bring music closer to the people, he devoted himself to musical education for the masses, and especially for young people. With great enthusiasm, he organized music teaching in public schools, established a conservatory of music, and transcribed hundreds of folk songs that he developed for his students. Now, these miniatures for the piano, guitar, and voice are simple, strong on melody, and designed to appeal to young people. Well, today their appeal is universal, sung in the best recital halls by celebrated singers. Let me play you one of these songs. It comes from the northern state of Brazil, Minas Gerais, which is renowned for its folklore. It's sung here in the national language, Portuguese, by the Spanish soprano, Teresa Baganza. Accompanied by Juan Antonio Alvarez Parayo on piano, Teresa Baganza singing the appealing Adeus Emma, or Goodbye Emma. As I said earlier, Villa-Lobos was a prolific composer who enriched American music with symphonies, concertos, operas, ballet scores, songs, and chamber music. His finest legacy to chamber music is a collection of 17 string quartets. They make an interesting collection, as the earliest are laden with folk elements, while the last are more freewheeling, abstract, and contemporary. The very last, the 17th, demands virtuoso playing by any quartet who take it on. And in this recording, the composer found his perfect interpreters, the Quartetto Latino-Americano. This is how they effortlessly breeze through the scherzo of this difficult work. Third movement, the scherzo from the 17th quartet, string quartets that are considered among the composer's masterpieces. The one I just played was composed in 1957, towards the end of his life, when his music and reputation were firmly established and recognized, not only in Brazil, but universally. On his 70th birthday, for example, the event was greeted with official celebrations in the United States, France, and Brazil, and when he died in 59, he was given a state funeral. Not bad for an autodidact. Well, a half hour like this can in no way do justice to the breadth and scope of this genius. But if what you have heard has heightened your curiosity about the man and his output, then set out on your own exploration. It's a journey that will take you in music to the very soul of Brazil. Now, as I open the show with one of his most popular compositions from the Baquianas Brasileiras, I'll end with another. The Toccata from the number 2, which he wrote in 1930. O Trenzio do Caipira, literally translated The Train of the Farmers, is one of his most descriptive works. The music says everything, as the old steam engine puffs its way out of the station, gathers speed, rattles through the lush countryside, and then slowly breaks at its next destination.
Thank you.
one of the most famous compositions of Brazil's greatest composer, Heitor Villa-Lobos. The Toccata, or Farmer's Train, from his Baianas Brasileiras No. 2. Notes from the New World is produced and presented by Pete Myers. Technical production, Bob van Beten.